Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over a year into the presidency of Joe Biden, and America's border crisis continues to get worse. Between policies that fail to discourage illegal entry and inept leadership from so-called border czar Kamala Harris, the vice president, the White House appears unwilling or unable to take the issue seriously. Or perhaps they just want more illegal immigration. In this special edition of Hold the Line, we'll take a look at America's ongoing illegal migrant surge and how the Biden administration has failed in its obligation to secure America's southern border. Welcome to this special edition of Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. The numbers don't lie. In fact, they tell the tale quite clearly. We have just gone through the worst 12 months or so at our southern border in history. And this is occurring at a time when the Biden regime is in the midst of various failures, scandals, and clear mismanagement, whether it's of the economy, of national security, of you name it. Add the border to the list, and it feels like the Biden administration is just, at this point, unable to see straight. I mean, they can't figure out anything unless you start to take the different position that maybe this is all about violation of sovereignty in this country as a policy. That the more illegals we have, the more likely it is over time to tip the balance in this country demographically and when it comes to voters in favor of the Democrat Party. The newly arrived, particularly those who arrive illegally, are more likely to want state benefits and help from the government. And therefore, the party of government, of big government, the Democrats, are going to get their votes. It's just a question of when you legalize them, when the amnesty happens, right? Plus, at the local and state level, as we know, illegal immigrants are treated as though they are citizens. Places like California, New York, giving them benefits, giving them driver's licenses, in-state tuition, you name it. So how bad is the problem getting? If you believe that we should have some say over who comes into this country. Where do we stand? Well, here's a graph showing that encounters from fiscal year 2022, 2021, and 2020 tell quite a story. As you can see here, it's already fiscal year 2022. We're hitting early records. And as the year goes on, it's likely the numbers will go up considerably. So we may, in fact, have the highest level of encounters at our southern border of all time. Now, by encounters, let's be clear, we mean migrants who are being arrested for entering the country illegally. That's what they mean by encounters. Now, in many cases, if these are family units, they'll actually wave down Border Patrol. I've seen this myself, so this is not theoretical. This is not just reporting from other folks. I've been there. They'll wave down the Border Patrol and then tell them, often in very scripted terms, that they want asylum in this country because they're abusing the asylum process. That's the whole point of it, right? That's one end run. But as Title 42 will be coming to an end soon, there'll be an even larger flood of migrants than we had previously seen, because one of the only ways that Border Patrol had been able to quickly turn back those who entered the country illegally will be gone. That tool will be out of the toolbox, so to speak. So what are we expecting? Well, the biggest influx of illegal immigrants in the history of this country in a short period of time. And the Biden administration has no answers. In fact, their best option, it seems, at this point is to just lie about it as aggressively as they can. I mean, here was Jen Psaki back in April of 2021 telling you, don't worry, the influx of illegals is cyclical and seasonal.
Secretary Mayorkas put out a statement saying this is the highest pace of border crossing in 20 years. Yesterday, President Biden made it seem like this is not too unusual compared to other previous years, that in terms of the number of people trying to cross the border, it's about average. Those don't seem to square. How does the administration view this in terms of whether this is precedented or whether this is an increase?
Well, the president was making the point that we have seen increases at the border in 2014 when he was the vice president, 2018 and 2019, and he conveyed that over the last 6 months of the Trump administration, there was an increase of about 31%. We've seen an increase of about 29% over the last several months since he took office. So the point is, we've dealt with this before. It is often seasonal. It is often cyclical. And he just wanted to convey that in his effort to communicate and provide educational information to the public.
Well, here we are a year later, and we know that it was neither seasonal nor cyclical. It was an all-time record. And that you've had almost 2 million people come into the country illegally over the last 12 months. And those numbers are estimates at some level. We don't know everybody who's entering illegally across the southern border. They estimate how many gotaways they are. They don't actually know. And the numbers on this are just looking increasingly like the Biden administration is swamped. I mean, they don't know how to get through this without the American people actually seeing there's a major problem here. And so that then brings us to maybe they just try to lie about it. I mean, here is the OMB director saying that so far border crossings are, you know, in line with what we've seen in the past. Watch.
Look, we have a pattern of migration. Yeah. And we are preparing to ramp up for a traditional pattern of additional right. people coming across the border.
My question is, well, do you support eliminating Title 42 deportation authority?
I don't have a personal opinion. I believe we, from a resource position, are putting forth enough money to deal with a historic pattern.
Historic. Now, if she means historic by record setting, then that's true. If she means in line with historic norms, that's not true. And it's probably going to be in the months of June, July, and August, the most we have ever seen, because right now the word is out. People know that at our southern border, there are a variety of ways to game the system and get into the country. And they know that Border Patrol is overstretched. They know that if they want to just do a run into the country, whether it's vehicular or on foot, with drugs, with fentanyl that is poisoning over 100,000 Americans a year, or I should say 100,000 overdoses a year, 75% of which are opioids, a large percentage of that is fentanyl. This is all happening at our southern border right now. And what is the Biden administration's view of how to stop this? They're going to send down more resources that make it easier to process the people who are illegally entering the country. That's where we currently stand on this one. There's no plan to make this stop because they don't want to make it stop. And that brings us then full circle. Why wouldn't this continue to get worse? The Biden administration does not, the Democrat left does not view illegal immigration as something that is undesirable. They would like more of it. They want more people coming into the country who are illegal, because then they're going to claim that they need to have an amnesty. This amnesty will be for tens of millions of illegals, and it will forever change the American political landscape. They're going to say it's not going to be voting rights. Sure, we'll see. The moment they get an amnesty, how long the "it won't be for voting rights" claim will last. Of course, they're going to end up having full citizenship and voting rights down the line. That's the way amnesties work. That's what's going to happen here. So this is the Democrats' big plan. It seems to me they're executing on it while pretending this is what they don't want. Will it cost them in the midterm? Could immigration be the single biggest backlash issue for the incompetent Biden administration? A lot of companies promise your privacy is guaranteed, but we know that's not true. That's why you need a new privacy and cybersecurity application tool called Secure. It's spelled S-E-K-U-R. Secure is using proprietary encryption and offering secure instant messaging and email. With Secure, all of your communication is based on servers and data centers hosted in Switzerland without any of the big tech overlords spying on you. Privacy is a big issue right now. Secure will actually protect your privacy. They'll never mine your data, never ask for your phone number. They're your solution to stop the constant theft of your digital identity. It costs only $5 for the messenger, only $10 for the messenger and email combination package. Go to secure.com and take back your privacy today. That's S-E-K-U-R.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off. Three years ago this month, former Department of Homeland Security Secretary under Obama, Jay Johnson, rang the alarm on the border crisis when agents were encountering 4,000 migrants at the border each day. Watch.
I know what 1,000 a day looks like. I saw it myself at Border Patrol holding stations. I cannot begin to imagine what 4,000 a day looks like. Right. It must overwhelm the system. I think we have to get away from Democrat versus Republican, crisis versus no crisis. This is a crisis by any measure.
Fast forward to today, DHS is bracing for potentially 18,000 migrant encounters per day when the Biden administration ends Title 42 next month. So where is DHS Secretary Mayorkas on all this? And why is the White House not prioritizing this obviously escalating problem of lawlessness? Let's ask Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration Studies, Jessica Vaughn. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, so according to the Migrant Policy Institute, Title 42 has been used to remove migrants more than 1.7 million times already since the start of the pandemic. Tell us about how this has been a tool that, among very few, it seems, has actually been useful in turning people away after a legal crossing.
Well, Title 42 is a tool under the public health law that allows the federal government to expel people for public health reasons without having them go through any formal immigration proceeding or even be formally deported. So it's a quick and easy way to simply turn people back at the border without having to process them, which takes a lot of effort. It also means that people can no longer game the asylum system. The Department of Homeland Security doesn't have to worry about detaining families or kids. It just blocks everyone from entering the country. And this was put into place by President Trump. It was reduced in scope by President Biden. He started exempting large categories of illegal border crossers from Title 42 expulsion. And now he's announced that he's going to stop using this authority at all. And that leaves the question of, well, what are they going to do with what we know is a huge number of prospective illegal border crossers who are now making their way to Central America and Mexico and up to our border? How are they going to process them? What is their plan? I think there are some clues, but they have not been entirely candid about exactly what they want to do.
I have seen some analysis, including from your own organization, CIS, that there may be a change in even how the processing works for asylum seekers at the border. Can you explain how far along the Biden administration may be in that change and what it would mean, what it would do.
Well, yes, they have announced some plans to make changes to how asylum seekers are processed. Now, and to put this into context, a federal judge has determined in response to lawsuits by a group of states that are frustrated by the Biden administration's continuing failure to get control of the border and deter illegal migration. So this judge said, look, under immigration law, you have two choices. You either have to detain people or you have to send them back to Mexico to await any processing, for example, if they want to make an asylum application. Well, the Biden administration is saying, well, we're going to do something different now. They've proposed a system that will allow people to apply for asylum at the border and be essentially whisked into the country to have their hearing in about 3 weeks with an asylum officer, a bureaucrat from a group of people that they are now trying to hire, who will be interpreting the law according to guidelines that the Biden administration gives them, instead of going to immigration court where an immigration judge would decide on their asylum application. So basically, it's a way to expedite kind of waving people through and laundering their status as asylum applicants so that they don't have to do what the judge said, which is either detain people or send them back to across the border to Mexico. So it's a revolutionary change to how illegal border crossers will be handled that is guaranteed to increase the incentives for people to come here and try to get in because they know this is basically a formalized catch and release program.
And what percentage, do we have some idea right now with Title 42 still in place, there have been huge numbers of migrants illegally crossing in the U.S. and then seeking to stay here over the last year, let's just say the last 12 months or so. So and what percentage of them are actually likely to be able to stay? I mean, this is, I think, where it starts to get really confusing for people because there's the asylum track, there are single adult males, there are family units. I've seen the family units at the border, you know, women with small children, they're treated very differently. There are unaccompanied minors. Who's getting to stay right now and who doesn't?
Well, in the last 6 months, there have been about a million people encountered by the Border Patrol, and about half of those have been allowed to stay under the policy. They've expelled, Biden administration policy has been to expel about half of the people arriving under Title 42 and let the other half come in. And of course, there's an additional tens of thousands of gotaways that we know about coming through per month as well. And those are a whole nother story. They're just getting through. With this possible change that we're expecting from the administration that they've been kind of forecasting themselves with some documents that they've filed with federal government, I would expect that the vast majority of people who are coming would have the ability to enter the country under, whether it's as an asylum applicant or under some other forms that the Biden administration uses, because they are actually shrinking detention capacity at the border, which should tell us that they're not planning on detaining, they're not planning on sending people back right away. They're planning on having this managed mass entry of people who show up at the border under the guise of a humanitarian admission program.
Jessica, can I ask, because I find this fascinating. So you said of the million, let's say, which is a huge number, obviously, for everyone sitting here saying a million in 6 months, of the million, and not even including the gotaways, I think the gotaway number estimate that I saw was in the hundreds of thousands, so you'd have to add that to it. Mm-hmm. So half of them get to stay, who come to the country legally. Are they all staying under some version of an asylum process, or are there other reasons they get to stay?
Well, they're being allowed to stay by expressing a fear of return. And what we've found in the past that most of them, if they're allowed to enter after saying they fear return, don't even bother to fill out the asylum application. They just use that as a pretext for being allowed to enter. And the Biden administration goes along with that. As long as they know what to say and they're coached by the smuggling organizations and by the NGOs that are helping them out on the Mexican side, Once they set foot on U.S. soil, they say, I'm afraid to be returned home. Then they're allowed in. And we can expect that that's going to be most of the people on that are coming to the on their way now to the border. And, you know, after May 23rd, when the Title 42 policy is lifted. So they find some loopholes in the law to avoid returning people, which is actually what the law says is supposed to happen. If they're an illegal border crosser, they're supposed to be returned quickly or detained until a judge can rule on whether they should be allowed to stay. That hasn't been happening at all. They've been just waving people in.
Yeah, it almost feels like the Biden administration kind of likes this illegal immigration situation. But anyway, Jessica.
Well, they've had a year to fix it, and they haven't tried to. So yeah,
it looks like they're about to make it, fair to say, just real quick, they're going to make it much worse now, right? I mean, the situation's about to get worse.
Yeah. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Jessica, thanks for being with us. Appreciate the expertise.
Thank you.
As the nation braces itself for a surge in illegal migrants, some states are beginning to take matters into their own hands. In a special edition of the Buck Brief, I'll explain how some border states are stepping up efforts to stem the migrant tide. We're living in chaotic times, and foreign identity thieves love chaos. American homeowners have become a favorite target for these criminals. It's not just your credit cards and bank accounts they're after. That's small-time stuff. These hackers want our homes. The crime is home title theft. It's exploding in the U.S., and no, you're not covered by homeowners insurance or common ID theft services. The problem is the title to our homes are kept online. An identity thief knows his big payday is as easy as forging your signature stating you sold your home to him. Now he'll take out loan after loan against your home, and you won't know until the collection calls start or you get an eviction notice. How do you protect your home from title theft? Go to your county recorder's office every day and check your home's title, or register your address, okay? That's all you have to do at HomeTitleLock.com to see if you're already a victim of this crime and don't even know it yet. This is how we can protect our most valuable asset, our homes. All you have to do now is go to HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com. With the Biden administration all but abandoning its obligation to protect the southern border, some states are taking steps to stem the tide on their own. In addition to continuing work on its own border wall, Texas Governor Greg Abbott recently announced his Lone Star State's plan to bus illegal migrants north to Washington, D.C. Take a look.
To help local officials whose communities are being overwhelmed by hordes of illegal immigrants who are being dropped off by the Biden administration, Texas is providing charter buses to send these illegal immigrants who have been dropped off by the Biden administration to Washington, D.C. We are sending them to the United States Capitol, where the Biden administration will be able to more immediately address the needs of the people that they are allowing to come across our border.
Some estimates as high as 18,000 migrants per day set to arrive once Title 42 is lifted. Texas is going to need a lot of buses, maybe. We'll more on this in a special edition of the Buck Brief. Biden administration doesn't care about all the illegal immigration. They care about the politics involved when the American people see what a mess this is. Doesn't bother them there are so many illegals coming into the country every day already, or that last year was essentially the all-time record, over 2 million apprehensions, encounters they call them euphemistically, at the southern border. Hundreds of thousands of additional gotaways, people who just got into the United States. Some of them are drug smugglers, poisoning our cities and towns with fentanyl. That's what's going on right now at the southern border, but the Biden administration is only really concerned with the optics. Do the American people actually see what's going on? Well, they're starting to see, and here's video from Bill Malugin of Fox News showing the mass release of single adult migrants from federal custody in Brownsville. And you have to ask yourself, if they can get into the country so easily, if they're being let into the country, who isn't being let into the U.S. at this point? I mean, who's being told that they're going to be turned back? Some of these are single adult males. Even why would they be let into the United States when they've come in illegally? Well, because the Biden administration doesn't really believe in the rule of law when it comes to immigration. doesn't really believe that illegal immigrants are even a problem of any kind for society in terms of the violations of the rule of law, the violations of U.S. sovereignty, the amount of money taxpayers spend on the services for individuals who are not legally supposed to be in the United States. Democrats say this is not just a nation of immigrants, but a nation of illegal immigrants. They believe that it doesn't matter. A person can't be illegal, they say. Well, then why have immigration laws at all? Why not just have a Congress that passes? Why not have Democrats pass a bill, or at least try to pass one, that says that anyone can come and go as they please? That starts to get pretty tough for things like voting and a tax base and a whole range of issues, right? Determining who is and who is not a part of your polity is a pretty essential component of actually having a nation, having a nation state. That's a big deal, isn't it? Democrats disagree. So we know the Biden administration is not going to do very much about this. They're not going to try to stop the flow. If anything, they just want to hide the flow. They want to streamline the migrants who, by the hundreds of thousands, are already on a monthly basis coming through. Soon they expect it'll be about 18,000 a day once the Title 42 authority of the CDC expires. So what are we going to do about this? Well, some governors are stepping up. Governor Abbott of Texas has decided to, well, I'll let him tell you.
To help local officials whose communities are being overwhelmed by hordes of illegal immigrants who are being dropped off by the Biden administration, Texas is providing charter buses to send these illegal immigrants who have been dropped off by the Biden administration to Washington, D.C. We are sending them to the United States Capitol, where the Biden administration will be able to more immediately address the needs of the people that they are allowing to come across our border.
Ah, chartering buses to send illegal immigrants to places where Democrats don't really expect to have to deal with them, to Democrat neighborhoods, in this case to our nation's capital itself, with the idea that, you know, that will be hard to ignore. There'll be visuals of illegal immigrants. Now, let me just say this. This is a voluntary program. So this is not people who are being detained and put on chartered buses. They're going to be offered. This is really, at some level, a political stunt. Let's be honest about this. We're conservatives. We don't live in an alternate reality. We live in the only actual reality. And so how many people will actually get on these buses and be transferred to these areas? Probably very few, although who knows? Maybe they want a free ride in a nice chartered bus to D.C. Depends. These are illegal immigrants after all. I'm not sure how much cash they want to throw around to get to their final destination within the U.S. And Ted Cruz certainly likes the optics of this. He says it's an excellent idea, Governor Abbott's idea, but Texas shouldn't only send charter buses of illegal aliens to D.C. I filed federal legislation to also send them to Martha's Vineyard, very fancy place where people go in the summertime. Nantucket, same thing. Palo Alto, Greenwich, Connecticut, Scarsdale, Newport, Rhode Island, and Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. So singling out here, really, the preferred summer homes, for the most part, summer destinations of the Democrat elite along the coasts. That's what that list is all about from Senator Ted Cruz. And so he's trying to make a case here that one of the reasons Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others are so favorable to illegal immigration is that they don't deal with the consequences of illegal immigration in their own neighborhoods. The drain on resources and services, the increase that will occur when you're bringing in lots of people without vetting and not knowing what or who the situation is that's actually brought them into the country. The cartels are a massive component of the human smuggling here. There's some that are saying the cartels are making up to $100 million a week at the southern border right now on the smuggling operations alone. So while all of that is going on, Democrats get to say it's not their problem. And some are saying, no, we're going to actually make sure the American people see what's really going on here. Here's Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, for example, saying he's going to send illegals to sanctuary states like Delaware.
What we're doing in Florida is saying, you know, we're not going to let the recklessness of those policies impact our state. So we do not, if businesses or contractors are dumping people who are illegal into Florida from southern Texas, you know, we're going to go after their ability to do business in Florida. If Biden is dumping people, which he has dumped, people. They fly them in at 2 in the morning. They haven't done it lately, but they did it many months ago. We now have money where we can reroute them to sanctuary states like Delaware, and we're going to do that to make sure that we're keeping people safe here.
Reroute them to Delaware. And by the way, to give you a sense of just how serious the Biden administration, the Biden regime really is about the illegal immigration tsunami that has already been underway. It's only going to get bigger. It's going to turn into a massive tidal wave here soon. They actually hand out phones to illegal immigrants so they can track them, they say, and tell them, hey, it's time for you to show up to a hearing. I guess how well that works out. But Jen Psaki admits that they actually do give free phones. Watch.
Thank you, Jen. First, on immigration, our team in Texas is saying that you guys are starting to give smartphones to border crossers, hoping that they'll use the phones to check in or to be tracked. Which part of that is supposed to deter people from crossing illegally into the states?
Well, I think you, of all people, since you've asked me a range of questions on this topic over time, would recognize that we need to take steps to ensure that we know where individuals are and we can track in, and we can check in with them.
Yeah, do you think those individuals who are in the country illegally are really going to answer the phone call when it's, hey, can you show up at your asylum hearing? Hey, can you check in with Immigration and Customs Enforcement now to enter you into the system? Because they don't even know who or where these individuals are. I'm going to go with probably not so much. Then there's, of course, Obama's former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson earlier today speaking some sanity. He's a Democrat, but he's a sane Democrat. Here he is saying it is absolutely a crisis at the border. Watch.
If you go to Laredo, Texas, which is 85% Mexican-American, they want our border under control. Numbers of 7,000 a day, and the estimates are now as it could climb over 10 to 18 possibly, are not sustainable. They're not sustainable in the communities across the border that have to absorb this population, Catholic Charities. It's not sustainable for the Border Patrol and ICE to be able to track these people and keep up with these people. And it's not sustainable politically for the Biden administration.
So you'd agree there's a crisis at the border right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there is a crisis at the border, and Democrats are about to make it a whole lot worse. On top of the already massive numbers of migrants that Border Patrol agents are already dealing with every day, the brave men and women who protect our border are now fearing the worst. Once the Biden administration ends Title 42 next month, the border agents are bracing for an enormous surge of up to 18,000 migrant encounters per day. That's what they're projecting. These same agents have been furious with the White House and the policies they've had to follow since Biden took office. Take a look back at the leaked footage from January when border agents, who were angry, obviously, at the situation, lashed out at DHS Secretary Mayorkas and Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz.
We don't give up. We stay focused. We continue to do the job and the mission that we signed up for. Right? We all signed up for it. We all raised our hand.
Kind of hard to say that.
To defend the Constitution, not the
Constitution. It's not hard to say them. It may be hard for you to say them. You're getting bogged down in the policies and the politics.
You can't even say illegal alien.
What's that?
You can't even say that.
That's why Chief Scott left.
You just said it.
For evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. That's exactly what's happening here. Good men are doing nothing. You're allowing illegal aliens to be dropped off in communities.
You're allowing illegal aliens to be dropped off in these communities. Speaking truth to power there. So what are the agents dealing with right now? What's the reality on the ground down on our southern border? Let's ask Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council, Chris Cabrera. Chris, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So tell us, what is the, before we get to what happens after Title 42, what is the day-to-day reality right now as you're seeing it, as your agents, your fellow agents are seeing it on the U.S.-Mexico border? What kind of crossing levels are you seeing? What kind of lawlessness is underway? Tell us what's going on.
We're seeing about 8,000 to 9,000 crossing per day nationwide. Just in my small area down here, we're well over 1,000 per day. Our manpower is cut to a skeleton crew out in the field. We start off the day with at least 50% of our agents inside processing, and the number just gets whittled down as the day goes on, getting pulled out of the field for different duties. We have tons of gotaways, people that are coming in that we don't have the manpower to free up to go after them because we're so busy dealing with the people turning themselves in and the other traffic that's coming away trying to avoid us.
And what does this mean for Border Patrol in terms of just the manpower and the missions beyond the humanitarian mission, right, which is what involves Border Patrol agents going to hospitals, take care of illegals who have crossed over, make sure that everyone's, you know, healthy and safe, et cetera. But there's a national security mission, a sovereignty, rule of law mission, and a drug interdiction mission. What does it mean when you've got 8,000 illegals crossing in every day for all those other pieces?
You know, so much is getting away from us. We're unsure what it is or who it is, what they're bringing with them, what kind of crimes they've committed in their home country, much less in our country. We're going to go out there and do the best we can every day. It's up to the folks in D.C., whether it's headquarters at Border Patrol or DHS, to do their part, making sure that we have the stuff to do our job and stop hindering us down with nonsense policies and nonsense directives. When we have a job to do, just let us go out there and do our job.
Now, let's talk about what happens when Title 42 goes away. The Biden administration has already stated that it will happen in late May. What are the projections that Border Patrol and DHS personnel are making for how many crossings there will be? What kind of wave of illegal migration are you expecting?
You know, as I said earlier, we're dealing with about 8,000 a day nationwide, which is well above our capacity. We've been told to expect 18,000 to 19,000 per day once Title 42 is lifted. The word's out worldwide that this is the place to come and it's easy to get in. So people are coming to the greatest nation on the face of this earth, and they're not obeying our laws. And why should they? We're not going to enforce them anyway.
So once Title 42, which is this CDC authority that had allowed at least some illegal migrants to be quickly expelled from the country and put back. By the way, would they be repatriated just across the border into Mexico, or would they be sent to, under Title 42, Chris, to their country of origin? How does that work?
Well, now they were going back without the Remain in Mexico in place, Remain in Mexico program in place. They were being sent back to their home country if their home country would take them, and not all the home countries like Honduras would take these people back, so we'd get stuck with them. So, you know, that's one of the kickers there. And then there's so many others that are they have temporary protective status, like those from Nicaragua, Colombia, Venezuela. So they're not amenable to Title 42 anyway. So it's just kind of thrown together. They're not even obeying their own rules that they've come up with. And it's just a mess right now. And if our folks at the top can't get the job done, they need to bring somebody in that'll do it. And I don't think Secretary Mayorkas has the stomach for doing this job.
What will the intake procedure likely be? Let's say we're going to fast forward here for a second, Chris, to June, and you're at 18,000 illegal crossings a day. Based on the resources that can be arrayed to deal with this, what kind of vetting, processing, and procedure would be in place for those who walk over, cross the U.S.-Mexico border illegally? What will happen?
You know, we've seen it happen before in the summertime, last summer, where they did an alternative to detention. So we weren't even giving them a notice to appear, a court date, or anything. We were just releasing them, telling them they needed to make their own arrangements to see an immigration judge or to get to an ICE agent and declare themselves. And so you can expect people to be, instead of streamlining the processing, it's going to be streamlining the release, just so we can get them out of our facility as quickly as possible to make room for the next wave that's coming in.
So this, tell me more about this alternative to detention. Is that, it sounds like people come into the country illegally, and then it's almost like they're on the honor system to put themselves in the system, the immigration system, so to speak, somewhere to either claim asylum or whatever the process may be. Is that right? I mean, how can there be any tracking under an alternative to detention system?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what it is. It's the honor system, and to put somebody in honor system who just broke the law by crossing in our country illegally is kind of outrageous. And then on top of that, we're giving them some brand new telephone so that they can keep in touch with us. And usually those just end up in the trash before they get on the bus to get out of town.
Wow. So we give them free phones, too. That's interesting. I think a lot of people don't know about that. You know, here was back in January, just earlier this year, you mentioned Mayorkas, the DHS chief. Here he is saying that the immigration problem, illegal crossing, is worse than it has been probably ever. Watch this one.
We should have enough personnel to take care of the southern border. And I mean, that's the solution. And that hasn't been the case. Look, it's worse now than it frankly has been in at least 20 years, if not ever.
If it was the worst probably ever, as he says there, that it was in January in terms of just illegal crossings and the flow that's going around our legal immigration system, Chris, is it going to be even worse than the worst ever once Title 42 passes this summer and going forward?
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, that's what they get for putting a yes man in a position like this. He's not standing up for his guys. He's not standing up for his department. He's just doing whatever the administration tells him to do. And, you know, what's the point of having somebody in there if they're not going to do their job?
Chris, appreciate the work you do and also for bringing us some ground truth and your expertise here. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
The midterm elections are right around the corner, and the president's immigration policies are likely to cost him at the polls. CEO of American Majority Ned Ryan is coming up next to explain how Biden's border crisis is going to be a big problem in November. Stay with us. As the southern border braces for a massive influx of migrants, most voters are not supportive of President Biden's decision to lift Title 42 next month. The controversial policy was enacted under former President Donald Trump and has been used more than 1.7 million times to remove people who are in the country illegally under a CDC authority. So why are they lifting it now? Let's get into this with the CEO of American Majority, Ned Ryan. Ned, thanks so much.
Absolutely, Buck. Good to be with you.
So let's just start with this. The polling, which usually I feel like Democrats, especially in a midterm election, pay very close attention to, the polling shows most voters oppose Biden's decision to remove Title 42. 56% of all voters, 88% of Republicans, of course, but even 27% of Democrats. So what's the move here? What are the politics of this decision from the Democrat side?
Well, it's kind of interesting to see the divide here. You've got the Biden administration hell-bent on doing this the end of May. And shockingly, Buck, speaking of the midterms, a lot of these guys that are on the ballot, like Raphael Warnock of Georgia, are fighting this. They're fighting the Biden administration. They do not want to see them lift the Title 42. So it's kind of this really interesting division between the Democratic Party, depending on whether you're on the ballot this November. So there are Democrats that are fully aware, as their political lives are in danger, that this could be devastating to their political careers.
Right. So there are Senate Democrats, and this is not just Republicans who are saying this is
a big
issue here. But I mean, you'd wonder, what do they expect to happen? I mean, if the Biden administration seems entirely, and so far it seems entirely unwilling to enforce our immigration laws, they're not doing anything to stop the massive flow. If anything, this is going to make the flow even bigger of illegals into the country. Don't Democrats have to know that this is going to be a huge liability for them? I mean, what's the play here? Like, why is it just because the Biden regime can't betray the base on this that wants, you know, open borders and all the rest of it? What's the situation?
Yeah, no, I keep on going back to that. They're hell-bent. These are not bugs. These are features, whether it's energy policy, whether it's immigration policy. Let's not forget, Buck, I mean, in the first 100 days, Biden had over 94 executive orders that dealt with weakening our immigration system. And this is just a continuation of it. I mean, it's pretty staggering when you think about what they are up to. And let's be honest, Buck, what they are doing is they want to see massive, rapid demographic change for political gain. And they are hell-bent on doing this. And so those in the short term that realize this will be politically devastating are saying, hey, let's not do this. But the Biden administration and the base of the Democratic Party want to continue on because they think that this is a long-term bet that will give them more political power. So, yeah, when you see 300,000 getaways in fiscal year 2022 in which illegals have successfully evaded the Border Patrol, and now they're saying that we might be seeing upwards of 18,000 a day in a month would exceed the population of Atlanta, they're doing it for one reason, Buck. It's in hopes of having more political power.
It's remarkable to watch this play out. What do you think the messaging is going to be? I mean, how is Jen Psaki going to get up there, assuming she hasn't taken her job at MSNBC yet? That's apparently waiting for her. No surprise there. How is Jen Psaki going to try to message the situation. If the number goes to 18,000 apprehensions a day, my contacts at Border Patrol say, and we talked to one of them on the show, Ned, that's going to completely overwhelm the system. I mean, that is just like a tidal wave going through the factory and shutting down all the machinery. Like, it's just not going to be possible.
Yeah, no, that is the point, though. I mean, that is the point, Buck, of what they're doing with all of their policies. And basically, not basically, but going out of their way and overtly weakening our immigration system and our southern border. There really is no way to spin this. And that's, again, why one of the top issues behind inflation is absolutely immigration, not only in the midterms, but in the presidential of 2024. The American people are beginning to really truly understand, with rapid demographic change, but also more what they realize they're footing the bill for this. Not only are they footing the bill for what's taking place, this humanitarian crisis, but they are fully aware that a lot of these who are coming in illegally will find their ways onto our social welfare programs. It will increase our tax burden. We will be paying for this, not only in the short term, but the long term. And the American people are saying, we've had enough. And if we actually had real political courage, and I would argue, especially with the Republican Party, and saying we're going to actually end this and we're going to solve the border crisis, I think we could actually do this very quickly. I just talked to President Trump. He's like, you know, if we can get back into power, Ned, we can complete the southern border wall in a matter of not months and months, but even just weeks and weeks, and be able to secure this and say, we're done here. And we do not have a constitutional obligation in any way to continue on. In fact, I would argue this is deeply unconstitutional and against the interests of the American people and the American taxpayer. At some point, you would hope, Buck, that our elected representatives would actually stand up and say, you know what, we're going to actually prioritize the interests of the American people and the American taxpayer. And what is taking place on the southern border has nothing to do with any of those.
Can you just put it in context for us, Ned? You're a guy who watches the polls and the political realities very closely here. Immigration is not something that you see, certainly the Democrat media spend much time on these days, illegal immigration specifically. It's what we're talking right about here, crossing the border without actual permission, without doing so in violation of federal law. What do the polls show us about how much the American people going into the midterm election care about illegal immigration as an issue?
Oh, I would say it's still one of the top three issues when you talk with a lot of people in the base. That's what American majority does. Obviously, inflation's a huge issue. Election integrity is another one, but immigration is as well. I mean, that's one of the reasons Donald Trump got elected, and I think it's one of the reasons you're going to see, among many, one of the Republicans take back the majority in the House and probably in the Senate. And I think you're going to have Donald Trump probably positioned pretty well to win in 2024. Off the immigration issue, because a lot of the American people are realizing what is taking place is a complete and utter disaster for this country. And it's time that we actually do something and say, you know what, it actually means something when you say we're a sovereign nation if we actually have enforceable borders. And when we don't have enforceable borders, I think it calls into question one of the fundamental things: are we truly a sovereign nation? And I would say right now, Buck, that's a serious question mark for a lot of the American people.
Some states are suing Biden over the ending of Title 42, Arizona, Louisiana, Missouri, and the suit challenges an imminent man-made self-inflicted calamity. The abrupt elimination of the only safety valve preventing the administration's disastrous border policies from devolving into an unmitigated chaos and catastrophe. We want to stop the Biden administration from rescinding Title 42 because it may be one of the most boneheaded decisions of this administration. Those are the attorneys general of Arizona, Louisiana, Missouri. I spoke to the Missouri AG today. I mean, it's good messaging. Is this going to help?
Well, it would help if you had more than just three. I mean, there's dozens of Republican attorney generals around the country. And Buck, we know from what the Biden administration is doing, this isn't just about the border states. They're literally taking illegal immigrants and shipping them off into various parts of the country. The dozens of Republican attorney generals should also be a part of this. And quite frankly, the 26, 27 Republican governors should also be a part of this. And until they actually come together and build a coalition, have some real force, I mean, three, it's nice. It should be dozens. And that's a shame that we don't have dozens actually signing on to this.
Ned, always good to see you, my friend. Thanks for making the time.
Thanks, Buck.
That's all the time we have for this special edition of Hold the Line. I'd like to thank my guests, Jessica Vaughn, Chris Cabrera, and Ned Ryan for sharing their insights with us. The O'Reilly Update is coming next. Shields high.
The
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Hero first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country. Those who die in the line of duty or are catastrophically injured. Veterans who fought for our nation's freedom only to return home, fall in tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes. The families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.